Certainly thankful to be here and to attempt to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would ask for a continuation of your prayers this morning. You know, sometimes a man stands before the Lord's people and it is always a fearful thing, but it's even more fearful when your mind is not filled with the thoughts you would hope they'd be filled with, when you're not concise in the subject in which you want to attempt to preach from, and those times happen. So I'd ask for a blessing of prayer from each and every one of you this morning, that God might direct me in the words that he'd have me to say. The main thought that I've had this week is based on our focus in life, and I want to read some verses beginning in Psalms 90, and if the Lord would direct my thoughts, we'll try to go from there. I pray that I would not be too scattered. We begin in the first verse of Psalms 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. The psalmist tells us that there's never been a time, including today, that there's been a better place to dwell than in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not back in the day of Moses, which this is a psalm of Moses, the man of God, a prayer of Moses, but yet he has always been our dwelling place, whether we dwell there or not. God is our dwelling place. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God has not changed. No matter how much the society or the times in which we live have changed, God is the same. His view of us is the same. Our sins are no different than they ever were. You know, we live in a time when evil is called good and good is called evil. I mean, no doubt. Today we see many things that are unrighteous acts that are being proclaimed as righteous acts. Yet the Bible teaches us in the Old Testament that day would come, and I very much believe we see that day. He goes on and he says, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. In other words, that verse there is not something that we need to try to decipher as far as God is concerned. God just tells us there that time is irrelevant in his sight. It doesn't matter. Time is meaningless to God. He lives outside of the boundaries of time, which you and I live within. It's always time to do something, and time is our constraint here in this life. And when we run out of time, time will be no more. Time began when you were born. Time will end when you die. There will be no more time after you die when you live in heaven, because you're eternal. If you're from everlasting to everlasting. So we are living in the boundaries of time. But God lives outside those boundaries, and therefore time is irrelevant to God. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. Talking about men. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. You know, I've been to a number of funerals, and I've encountered a number of older folks. You know, getting older, I guess I recognize them. There's not any more older folks today than there's ever been. But you come to realize that, as Solomon said, the season in which they're in is the latter season of their life, their natural life upon the earth. Therefore, as I'm approaching the age of 60 years old instead of 20, I'm far more aware of death than I was then. I'm far more aware of it. I told someone this morning, I said, I farmed for 35 years at Olton, and nearly every person's land that I rented has passed away. I've been to the funeral of loved ones that I know, and it just tells me that time continues to march on. It really does. Solomon said, one generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. In other words, the cycle continues to go on and on and on. For all our days are passed away. We spend our years as a tale that's told. It's like a book. You know, we begin in the first chapter when we're born, and the last chapter is the closing of the book when we pass from this natural life. He says, The days of our years are 70 years and 10, meaning 70 years old. And if by the reason of strength they be 80 years, yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. You know, life when we begin seems so long and so much ahead of us, and as we get older and look back, it seems as though it was nothing but yesterday. That's how fast time flies. You know, James said, our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Is that not so true? You know, when I was young, I thought I'd never get old enough to get my driver's license. I just thought that day had never come. I waited and I waited and I waited. And now, every time I look up, Christmas has come and another has passed. And here we are nearly a third of the way into a new year. I mean, time is racing in my life at this present moment compared to how it was when I was 20 years old. You know, time slowed down during those days to a grind, sometimes you might say. But the Bible says if you live to be 70 years old, you're very blessed. You're extremely blessed to exceed 80. But needless to say, whether you're 70, 80, or 100 years old, it says the strength of that time, though, is labor and sorrow. Is that not the truth? Job said, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Is it not labor and sorrow and difficulties? Does that not come our way continuously as we live upon the earth? Bible says it does. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. He didn't say you might have it. He said you shall have it. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. And it's going to happen more times than not. You know, as we're told in Psalms chapter 1 about the storms of life. One storm cometh and it passes. Sometimes we're in the eye of the storm, but you better be prepared. There's another storm on the horizon. That's part of life. Troubles come. Job had it right. Our life is full of troubles and they will not end until our days are cut off and we fly home to be with the Lord. He goes on and it says, who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. But the verse I wanted here as I try to get to my thoughts, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Do you know that our days are numbered? Every one of us. You know, we think that 70 or 80 or 100 years is a long time, but in the backdrop of eternity, it is nothing. That's why God tells us that time is irrelevant. To us, it's everything. It seems like such a long time, and yet, when we look back, is it not such a short time? The question I have is, what do we do if we number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom? What does that really mean? I believe that means that we should have the proper focus in our lives. And that's been the thought that's on my mind to some extent, if I can go there. Focus. What does it mean to focus on anything? What does that mean? It means a central point or a point of concentration. What is the central point or theme of your life? Really, what is it? What is the point of concentration in your life? You know, with some people, it can be their husband or their wife or a family member. You know, there are many people in the world that want themselves to be the focal point for others. They want others to focus on them. We see that in families. We see that between spouses, husbands and wives. We see that in government, in jobs. I mean, you know, it's really a problem of pride. But many people want to be the focal point, of wherever they are. They want people to focus on them. Oftentimes we see that in marriages. Some people focus on their children. We live in an age and a time now that many folks are concentrating on their children to an extreme manner, to an obsessive manner. We see youngsters that are traveling around the country playing ball at 6 and 7 years old and forsaking the assembling of themselves. And even of those parents, their focal point is upon their children. You know, the question is, what do we focus upon? You know, I've heard people say, well, you have a lack of focus. You know, I believe that is a true and a false statement. Oftentimes we lack focus on certain things, no doubt about that. We don't focus enough on the good things, but we really don't lack focus. We're always focusing on something. It may be the wrong thing, the wrong person, the wrong circumstance, the wrong situation, but I'm telling you, we're focused on something. And it may not be the Lord. We're told in Colossians chapter 1 that Jesus Christ should have the preeminence in our lives. That literally means no matter what you do in life, if you want to have an abundant life, Christ should be the focal point. Always, not just on Sunday, not just occasionally. But you know, have you heard the term ADD? I asked Suzanne what that was, my wife yesterday, you know, an attention deficit disorder. You know, a lot of children are diagnosed with such. Some adults are diagnosed, but I believe in the society that you and I live in, we all are guilty to some degree of ADD, of having our attention focused where it ought to be. And to have that deficit or disorder means that you can't stay focused on any particular thing, circumstance, person, or situation for a very long period of time. And because we live in a world that is so fast-paced with so many activities and so much going on, sometimes it's hard to maintain the proper focus, is it not? It's hard to always look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's hard to look unto Him at every situation in our lives. But Jesus told us in John 16, He said, "These things that I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." You know, I find folks that are searching for peace their entire life, and they're searching everywhere they can search apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "In me you will find peace. In the world you will find trouble." It's pretty clear cut, very simple to understand, but so often we seek our peace and our joy in this world. He says in John 15 that true joy is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in the world, and yet we're so focused upon what's happening in our short time here. You know, it said, "Teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom." You know, I just think back, and I know any of you that's lived very long realize how fast that life is passing us by. We're here today, and we're gone tomorrow. You know, we see what Solomon said. "A generation has come, and the generation ahead of me is beginning to pass, and soon I'll fill their shoes, and soon my children will be fulfilling the same role that I do." This goes over and over and over in a continuation. And we're not here long. We're really not. Sometimes we live as though this is everything. This is all we have, and yet it's such a small part. Has no comparison to eternity. Some people focus on their job. That's the focal point of their life. Some people are so focused on their job, it's not about the money. It's the point of concentration. That's all they can concentrate on. And yet they'll soon be cut off. It's labor and sorrow, and they'll soon fly away. I'm not telling you we ought to not work. We ought to work. The Bible says if we don't work, we ought not to eat. The Bible's clear about that. But in all things, Jesus is to have the preeminence. He is to be the central point in our lives. We wonder why our lives go astray. We wonder why we have great difficulties in life. Now, I want you to understand, some person might say, "Well, all I can do is focus on my problems." And there's a lot of people that do that. Every day is a continual focal point of their problems. They might even tell you, if I didn't have all these troubles and all these problems, I'd be more in tune with the Lord. I could not forsake the assembling of myself as others do. But I've got so much going on out here in the world, I just don't have time for it. Friends, we have time to do whatever we want to do. And that's a fact of life in the United States of America for most every one of us. If there's a will, there's a way. We have time, and we make time, and we do exactly what we want to do. That right there is factual. If we want to do it, most of us find a way to do it. If we can't afford it, we find a way to get the money to do it. And we've been blessed in America with the ability to do so. But friends, our focal point is tremendous. You know, I talked about some of us wanting to be the focal point for others. But Jesus himself said that is one of the greatest problems that we have. He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." For us to focus on Christ the way that we should, to live an abundant life, you see, He told us in John 10 and 10, He said, "I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly." He's not talking about eternal life in verse 10. He's talking about the life you live right here and now. Because He says, "The thief cometh not but steal and to kill and destroy." Satan cannot steal your eternal life. He cannot destroy your soul. He doesn't have that power. He has power to rob you of joy and peace, to wreck your life, but not to take your soul. I know that Jesus is talking about the here and now and the natural life in which you live. And he says he came that your life that you live might be an abundant life. I think everybody would agree and everybody would raise their hand if we asked for a show of hands that they want to have an abundant life. Abundant joy, abundant peace. You know, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's not a question that's asked by Jesus to come and get eternal salvation. That question is to those who are already born of the Spirit of God, who are laboring in God's kingdom, who need rest. And our rest is found in Jesus Christ. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." The knowledge that we gain of Christ and the focus we have on him is how we get through the struggles that we face here in this life. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that there is nothing uncommon as far as trials and difficulties. You know, some of us believe that what we've went through is far worse and no one else has been through anything that's comparable. But in the 13th verse of 1 Corinthians 10, it says, "There hath no temptation." That word temptation there means a putting to proof, a trial. It means a good experience or an evil experience. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man." Now, he didn't say that every trial and every experience that you and I have was identical. But he said they're alike in one way. They try you. They test you. They bring burdens and sorrows and difficulties into your life. Friends, I'm here to tell you we all have trouble. Job made it clear, man is full of trouble. And that trouble goes with us all the days of our lives. So troubles is not an excuse to not focus upon the Lord. Matter of fact, we ought to be focused upon the Lord whether we're having a good day or a bad day. It ought to be our thoughts because we'll soon be cut off. Our life is labor and sorrow, and we're going to go home to be with the Lord. And yet sometimes we're so focused on this world that when tragedy comes, when death comes, when financial burdens come, we're tore apart. Our focus is not where it needs to be. And friends, it's hard to stay focused. I'm here to tell you, it's hard for all of us with what's going on in our world, with the activities we have, with the things that our children do, with the work that goes on in our lives. Staying focused on any one thing is difficult, is it not? But the Bible says that Jesus Christ should have the preeminence in all things. We're told to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct mine and your steps. I tell you, we need the Lord directing our steps each day that we live in this life, don't we? We need his direction and not ours. He needs to have the preeminence in our life. Jesus didn't say, "Don't enjoy the things that I've blessed you with." Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 14, it tells us that we're not to love our father, our mother, our husband, or our wife. We're not to prefer them before the Lord. He says if we do, we're not worthy of him. Now, he didn't say don't love your wife, don't love your husband, or don't love your children. He just says you don't love them more than you love me. If you're focused on your children, or you're focused on your husband, or your wife, or your job, or the money that you're making, it's very likely your focus is not upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people are focused on pleasure all the time. We all have a focal point in our life, do we not? It's something that we concentrate on from day to day. Sometimes it seems like it would be hard to take a job and do that job to the best of our ability or to do whatever it is we're doing and have our focus upon Jesus Christ. But it's not that hard. To some degree, it's a habit. Do you ask the Lord for help in every decision that you make? Do you acknowledge him in all your steps? From your work to your family, do you be careful for nothing that with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall rule your minds and hearts through Christ? You know, it's hard, I'll admit to you, because I've had my faults in life, staying focused. You know, in the big picture, it said, teach us to number our days. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. I mean, most of us, like I said, we can look back and time has flew. And you know, if I live another 20 years, I'll really be blessed. But time begins to draw nigh and you begin to see that out on the horizon and how fast it's come and how fast the time you have left is disappearing. And then we go home to be with the Lord. And yet sometimes we're so focused on the troubles of this life or whatever it is that's going on. You know, David said, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Do you fear evil? Do you fear fear itself? Do you have any fears in this life? David didn't have any fears because the Lord was with him and he knew it. That's how you and I get through the difficulties of this life. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tried or tested or go through such an experience that you're not able to bear. Did you notice that? God is not going to allow you to get to such a point that you can't bear the difficulty that you're facing. But with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Sometimes things seem unbearable in life, don't they? You know, if we want strong churches, if we want a strong nation, if we want strong families, strong marriages, you're not going to have those outside the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a fact. You can take that one to the bank. A lot of people have spent the entirety of their life trying to prove that wrong. But the Bible is the only absolute truth that we have. For it's in Him that we find our joy. It's in Him that we have our peace. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. That's a happy people. That's where happiness really is found, lasting happiness. Even though we're searching day in and day out in this life for happiness, for peace, and for joy, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're never going to find it. And if you do, it won't last but for just a little while. Because the psalmist said that our life is labor and it's sorrow and it's soon cut off and we fly away. We need to number our days and understand that what time we have left, we ought to live our life to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. That He ought to be the focal point of our life. And that when the storms come, that we can bear those storms. Because He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. That we may boldly say the Lord is our helper. You see, we're going to focus on something. That's going to be the point of concentration in our life. So many people wonder why their life is not better than it is. Why their marriage is not better than it is. Why their family is not stronger than it is. Or their church is not stronger. Or their job is not better. Or the nation is not stronger. It's the lack of focus in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. He's not our focal point. Honestly, self is the focal point of most of us. We focus on ourselves. What's good for us. What we want. What we desire. What we think we need. But Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 5, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek Jesus first in His kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. He didn't say go out and add all these things to your life. Do all you can to get the materialistic things that you want, then seek the Lord. He said seek the Lord first. We've been blessed mightily in this country, and it's a great blessing. But you know, there are folks in the Bible, and I'm going to mention three of them for just a few minutes, that had tough lives, I'd say, or at least they went through periods a lot harder and more difficult than I did. Let's take, for example, Abraham. Abraham was a man who done the best he could, I believe, to follow what God told him to do. God commanded him to pick up his stakes and to go where the Lord directed him to go. He left all the familiar things that he knew behind him. There's no record that he even went back and ever seen his family. But where the Lord sent him, he went. When the Lord commanded him to take his son Isaac to be offered as a living sacrifice, he went through that right down to the point of taking Isaac's life, and the Lord intervened. Now, he had his struggles. You know, his wife Sarah laughed when the Lord said, you'll bear a son in your old age. They didn't have a lot of confidence. They were sinners just like you and I are. But their focus, Abraham's focus always remained on God. Always did. Let's look at another example. Job is a man who the Lord said was perfect. And what he meant by that, he was complete. He was mature. But here's a man that lost everything that he owned. He did. He was a rich man, but he lost everything that he owned. And the man that continued to bring the news just brought one bad piece of news after the other. Pretty soon, we find out that all 10 of his children died. They were all gathered to eat, and a big wind came, and they all died. A little later on, you find that Job was covered in boils from head to toe. His wife told him to curse God and die. You know, that's where most of us would be, curse God and die. You know, how can a man tolerate this? And yet Job never charged God foolishly. He never lost sight of God. Even though Job may have considered himself to be somewhat self-righteous, Job's focus was on the Lord in the midst of all the difficulties that he had. That's hard, wouldn't it be? We don't have near those difficulties. And how often do we lose our focus? How often is our focus on our problems? If I was Job, I feel sure my focus would have been on all the troubles as I was encountering and going through. Lord, how could you do this to me? Why could you let this happen to me? But friends, Job didn't charge God foolishly. He continued to focus. And at the end of Job, the book of Job, all those things were restored unto Job. And I believe it's because he never lost faith and focus in the Lord Jesus Christ. We find now that the Apostle Paul was in the same condition. He was a man who sought to put Christians to death and to eliminate the name of Jesus Christ, Saul of Tarsus. And we know his Damascus Road experience, his conversion that changed him. He had nothing to do with it. He wasn't seeking the Lord. He wasn't looking for the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord found him. And he brought him to his knees, and he came down in the middle of the day, the sun shining bright with a light far brighter than the sun. And after that experience was over, the Apostle Paul lived his life with the Lord Jesus Christ in focus. And I believe that there's never been anyone that I know of that suffered any more for his preaching and for his ministry than the Apostle Paul. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned. And he continued to have all the care of all the churches. Yet he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In Philippians chapter 1, he continues with those thoughts. "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet I shall choose what I want not." In other words, Paul's fixing to tell you there's something that he wanted to do. Paul knew that his life was labor and sorrow. He knew it while he was going through it. He said, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I will not, for I am in a strait, I'm in a narrow place betwixt two, having a desire to part and to be with Christ, which is far better." This is what Paul wanted to do, but this is not what Paul was going to choose to do, because he knew it wasn't what he needed to do. But he knew to depart and go be with the Lord was the ultimate thing, and that's what he wanted. "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." In other words, I'm going to continue here. I'm going to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the center of my focus in life because it's needful for you. Not only that, it honors and glorifies God. He says in the third chapter in verse 8, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." His life was about Jesus Christ. His focus was on the Lord. So many of God's people today are focused on other things that I don't believe they understand the difficulties that they encounter and why they encounter them. You know, Jesus told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." When Paul asked him to remove the thorn, Jesus didn't remove the thorn. But he said, "I'll make a way for you to escape, to get through it, to get beyond it." And that's what he does for you and I. He doesn't remove all our problems. He doesn't remove all our pain. But when we're focused on the Lord, He gives us the ability to get through those difficulties in life that we encounter, we all encounter them, to deal with them and not be overthrown by the storm, carried away by every wind of doctrine. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was preaching out of Galatians chapter 1. It said, stand fast. It means to be stationary and not to be running around in circles. To be focused upon Christ means to stand fast. You know, He talked about the liberty and the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must be focused on Him. If we're to have that liberty, we're to have that freedom, if we're able to deal with the difficulties that come our way in life. I'm going to go to Galatians 5, and I'm going to close with a few thoughts here that I believe tells us about ourselves as children of God. We're told that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Interesting, is it not? Every child of God that is living here in a natural life still is clothed in sinful flesh, the carnal man. Every one of us. And the carnal man has no desire for God. He has no love for God, no want for God. Matter of fact, if you read in Galatians 5, it'll give you the fruit that's bore out by the flesh. But it says here that you cannot do the things that you would. That applies to both the flesh and to the spirit. What it tells us is whether if the flesh is controlling us, we're going to bear the fruit of the flesh. If we're controlled by the spirit, if the spirit is leading us, we have a far better chance of bearing the fruit of the Spirit. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you're born of the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. We have a warfare going on that will never end this side of glory. Romans chapter 7 talks about the battle, the internal battle that goes on with the child of God. The question is, are we yielding to the flesh? Or are we yielding to the Spirit? When we're yielding to the flesh, I believe it's because we're not focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may call upon the Lord, that the Lord is my helper. He said, I'll never leave thee. I will never forsake thee, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. When we can't get beyond those things in our own strength, it takes the strength of the Lord and the focus of the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand, the warfare that rages within you is one that every child of God has in his life. And so often it's easy to lose focus and yield to the flesh, to the things of the world, to worldly wisdom, to ungodliness. You know, I wish I could declare unto you today that when you're born of the Spirit of God, you no longer have problems with sin, but the Bible doesn't tell us that. Sin continues. And the Bible tells us that if you're guilty of one sin, you're guilty of the entire law. If you've ever committed one sin, you stand guilty and condemned before a holy and righteous God. You have nothing to offer. You have nothing to pay with. We have our hope in the mercy of an all true and all living God. Where is your focus? Is it here in this world? Is it on Jesus Christ? You know, we can live our lives and never lose sight of the Lord. We really can. I spent a lot of my life focused on the things of this world, on my job and whatever else I was doing. But as I look back now and time is racing by, it will soon be gone. And we'll be in the presence of the Lord forever. And when the troubles come, it doesn't mean you won't cry, you won't have any pain, but you'll be able to bear those things because the Lord will be with you. That's what David said when he walked through the valley of the shadow of death that you and I walk through every day that we live. He said, I will fear no evil, death included, because the Lord was with him. Our focus upon the Lord. The Lord is our helper, and that's where our focal point ought to be in life. May God bless us to look at Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, every day, from the time we get up to the time we go to bed, and every decision we make in our marriages, in our families, in our country, in our churches. May God bless you is my prayer this morning.